Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wondering what's next in your business or personal life? Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, a podcast dedicated to helping you with all of life's challenges, discoveries, and opportunities. Whether you're seeking a new career, retirement, or simply wanting to make an impact in your community or the world, join Jen Duplessis and her guests as they explore how to start, what to do when you're in the thick of a change or growth, and how to leave a mark in this world after breaking through your next achievement. You are moments away from the aha you've been seeking.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Success to Significance. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis. Today, my guest is Moreland Greenwood. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He comes from Kingston, Jamaica, which I've been there. Kingston, Jamaica, so I know exactly where you live. And moved to the United States when he was 11 years old and loved playing soccer, or as you call it, football, right? I was a soccer player too. Soccer player until he was introduced to wrestling, which he did for most of his childhood. And then that same coach introduced him to football in the latter part of his junior year. And that took him to Syracuse University, and he played football, and then he was drafted in 2001. What a horrible year that was. I want to talk about that. He was drafted in 2001 in the third round pick for the Miami Dolphins as a linebacker. Were you offense or defense?
Defense.
Defensive linebacker. Yeah. His, my son-in-law was a defensive linebacker as well. And then he played for the Houston Texans a little bit, and he expanded his career to being a music, I'd say a singer, right? You're a rapper.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because I've heard you rap. I've heard you rap when we were in Miami. Yeah. I love that. And has done a couple of collaborations with Pitbull, whom I love, and Flo Rida, whom I love as well. But after his, so this is what we want to talk about today. After his football career, his endeavors, you know, include his music, and you're obviously working on that as well. But more importantly for you, this is what you love doing, is you created the Moreland Greenwood Foundation. You are currently the current president of the NFL Alumni Association in Las Vegas. And, you know, you guys are really, everything you're doing is helping kids, you know, the underprivileged youth, making sure that they have a place to go, that they, you know, we don't all know, but as an athlete, and you're an athlete, you know what it does for your confidence, what it does for your stature, right? The way you even hold and carry yourself, and what it does to help you achieve your dreams. So I want to talk about you as a child. Were you an underprivileged child that you felt that this is the compelling piece of this for you? Or were you just, you know, a kid in Jamaica and you guys moved here and you've had all these wonderful things you want to get back?
Yeah. So the purpose of this, since I was 5 years old, my childhood dream was to help my family. I have from a big family. I have seven brothers and four sisters. I remember walking barefoot on the ground, and the only thing I wanted to do was to help my family. I just wanted to become a success so I can be able to help them and assist them. So fast forward, you know, you mentioned the stuff about going to the NFL and going to wrestling. And I had two great mentors in my life. My father, who told me, do your best at any contest and God will do the rest.
I love that. I wrote that down when we were in Miami. I wrote that down. I added that to my daily affirmations and quotes. I absolutely love that. Yeah. Do the rest. So say it again. Do your best.
Do your best at any contest and God will do the rest.
I love it.
What did he mean by that? I mean that whatever you're doing, just put your best foot forward. You're going to have to do it anyway. So why not do your best? And what that will do is that will just help to propel you forward. I remember my second mentor was my gym teacher that got me into wrestling. and he saw something in me I didn't realize in myself with football. Mm-hmm. And then he got me into football my junior year, and that's what helped to propel me, get the scholarship my first year playing in high school, went up to college, saw the magnificent opportunity that football had for me, and I wanted to take advantage of that. And mm-hmm. so fast forward, when I finished playing football, I just wanted to create the same opportunities for youth coming up that are striving to accomplish their goals and trying to help their family or trying to just be the best that they can be, just to get out of their current situation. Yeah. And the best way I see doing that is by, you know, through mentorship, doing the stuff that we do within the foundation, helping at-risk youth, and also for the alumni, our mission of caring for kids and caring for our own. So in working on that, combining all of that, we've evolved into where we're pursuing to put a facility in place.
Yeah.
We got approved by Nevada State College, which is the second fastest growing college in the United States. And we're in the beginning phases of that, but it's moving along pretty good, and I just can't wait to give the youth the opportunity that I
yeah.
have.
I can't wait either. And, you know, you and I were chatting one night at a mastermind, right? at the retreat late into the night. I think it was 1 a.m. And, you know, I think, you know, I loved hearing more details about it. I just can't wait to get myself out to Vegas. You know, it's funny. I was thinking the other day, I think I've only been to Vegas once this year. Normally I'm there like 7 times. But only once this year for some reason. And, but I can't wait to get there and see where this is going to be and, you know, give you a call and say, hey, let's go take a look at the facility. I can't wait to help support you, you know, mm-hmm. in doing that. So I have a couple of questions for you, cause I know we don't have a lot of time today. You're a busy guy. So, one of the questions that I have for you is, you know, what was the response that your family, you know, gave to you when you made it into the NFL? I mean, I know that, you know, a portion of your family was with you right here in the US, and but what was their response? And more importantly, the second part of that question is, how did you feel when you felt, you know, like, oh, I've arrived, right? I did something that was so much better than any first person to go to college, all that kind of thing, those things. How did it feel for you, and what was their response?
So the time, everyone was excited. Everyone was happy for me because they know how hard I worked. They didn't mm-hmm. know why. They thought I was just working just to be successful. I never told them that it was the reason I was doing it was to be able to help them one day, you know, and that yeah. was the beginning part. And I was a 3rd round draft pick. So I wasn't like, I wasn't making the type of money that I made in Houston. So I wasn't able to help the way I wanted to help. So at that point I was still on the journey. So I know yeah. that even though I've made it into the NFL, this is an opportunity for me to continue to pursue my golden dream. So I didn't really feel, I felt like, all right, now that I'm drafted now, it's time to get to work, right? right, you know, all the things that I've done to get me here is just another step for me to elevate, to get to another level, to be able to accomplish my goal. And, you know, my family, my father, he was very happy, you know.
Very proud, I'm sure.
Very proud.
Yeah.
And my brothers and sisters, they supported me. And I was glad that I got drafted in Miami because I had a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles that lived down there. So
yeah, close.
They could come to the game as well. My father used to fly down from New York because I grew up in Freeport, Long Island, and all my family lived there as well. So they would take turns coming down, visiting and supporting and just, you know, yeah. that was a great feeling because that's the reason why I was doing it. So it yeah. really made me feel good. But it was also another challenge and in my life that I have to make sure that I stay on course, and because I didn't feel like I've accomplished my goal as yet, so I knew I just had to continue to work and, you know.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us feel that too. And we do know that, you know, success is not a destination. It's a journey. We've heard that before. And, you know, so often You know, it is funny with athletes. It's like, you know, once I win the state championship, then I'm going to be good. But then you're like, well, maybe I could win it twice. Maybe I could win it a different way. Maybe I could do something else, you know? And so there's always this drive for that. So here you are sort of sitting in this success model for, you know, a period of years as you're working, you know, there. And I did want to ask you, you know, you got drafted in 2001.
Yeah.
Right. And here comes, you know, 9/11. Mm-hmm. In September, right as football starting, all of that. Yeah. What was that like? What was the demeanor and the, you know, the sort of the energy that was around the NFL at that time? And here you are excited to have your first game and
talk about adversity, right? So after being drafted, I was projected to be the starter. Then I hurt my midfoot severely during the summer. I missed the entire preseason. I was on crutches for like about 5 weeks, and then I had to rehab to get back. So now I'm thinking like my career is on everything that I worked so hard to accomplish. Now all of a sudden, I don't know what the future holds. Right?
Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, I was doing so well before that. Once I started to get better, the coaches, I ended up being the starter like the fourth game. You know,
after
thought I was getting well, and it was against the New England Patriots after the year they won the Super Bowl. But back to the
with Brady,
right? So back to the first game, we played against the Tennessee Titans, and the coaches wanted to put me out there, and I re-injured my foot a little bit. So I had to go back into. But at the time, I was dating my girlfriend from college. So I missed her very much. So I was like, I'm going to fly up to, I wanted to fly up to
New York,
Syracuse to see her. Yeah, because she was there still in college. But I didn't want them to know that I was that hurt. So I told them I was okay. And after the game, even though it was a little bit more. So I flew up there and I went up there. And normally after the game, we play on Sunday. Mondays, you go in there, you watch a tape, and then you finish so you could jump on a flight and come back through the night and get ready for practice, because we had Tuesdays is our day off. So I flew up there, saw her, and the next day we had went to the mall, and we were coming back, and she was staying at the Sheridan Hotel up there. And when I was coming back, the guy that worked there was like, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm getting ready to jump on a flight to go back down to Miami. And he said, he was like, all the airports are closed. I was like, what? He was like, all the airports are closed. He said, someone that flew the plane into the Twin Towers. And I'm like, no. And he was like, I'm serious. It's all over the news. So I go upstairs, I look on the news, and it's there. And it's like, you know, all of the things, like this horrible event that just happened, and all these people that have been affected by this, all the families. And then when I thought about that, then the next thing I thought about was like, oh, am I going to get back down to Miami?
Right. So all this turmoil is going on around you. All this turmoil,
everything is happening. And so I got on the phone and I called the trainer, and he said that, you know, we don't know if we're going to have a game this week, so you have to try to find a way to get back here, either to train or.
So that was kind of a godsend for you, because it gave you time to heal a little bit more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So last question I have for you, because I want to be cognizant of your time, is that, you know, so your career comes to an end for whatever reason it comes to an end. Did your career come to an abrupt end, or did you have an exit strategy for what you were going to do? Because this is now your next ceiling, right? Is you're going, okay, so now I'm done with this. Now I've got to break through this ceiling and get to the next level, which is now giving back to youth. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to play 12 years in the NFL. That was my goal, you know, and I'm very goal oriented. Like I want to set a goal and accomplish it. Well, I played 8 years in the NFL, and, in 2009, when I was a free agent, I was, you know, when you were there, you want to wait to see if you have an opportunity to get signed.
Yeah.
And during that time, when it was taking a while, because I decided that, all right, I'm not going to sit around and wait. I'm just going to focus on my music. So that's where I started doing the music in 2009. And I put the same effort into it like I would put into football. And we created a great album. Then after that year, I said I still didn't want to stop playing. So I went to play in the UFL for another 3 years. And then after, in 2012, when the UFL didn't, as an organization, didn't work out, that was when I said, all right, this is going to be it for me playing football. Now I'm going to transition into something else. So immediately I started transitioning into acting because I thought that I really like acting. And that gave me the same type of adrenaline rush, like when I'm out there on the field, going out there performing in front of the class or doing a film. So I started pursuing that. And then in 2015, I decided to reestablish a foundation here in Las Vegas because I had started it back in Miami, but I didn't have time to put into it. So I just wanted to be able to reestablish that. So that's when we started doing that, started doing the free football camps for the kids. And that lasted up until now. And then we started pursuing the facility in 2019. And then we were able to get it approved this year, March 3rd of 2022 by the Board of Regents. So I was able to, the big thing you have to do is when you stop from one journey, you have to immediately make that transition right away. Because you don't want to get stuck thinking of, you know, hanging on well, you know, there's going to be another opportunity. There's not going to be another opportunity. It's like you need to set a timeline for yourself. And the timeline for me was, I said, well, I wanted to play 12 years. I only played 11. So I was like, I'm okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm okay with that. And by the UFL, you know, going under where they wasn't able to get acquired by the NFL, I just utilize that. Okay, this is my chance to make my transition and move on. And now one of the bigger things with football players is after they finish playing or just athletes in general, you have to get yourself on a regiment. You have to get yourself on a routine.
Because
you've always had someone giving you a schedule where you need to be, where you have to show up one, but you know, so now you have to do that.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest things for me to just to transition immediately, then sit around and wonder what.
Yeah, instead of wondering what's going to happen. Yeah. I think that's really powerful because, you know, in business, that is one of the biggest reasons that so many people fail is because they become, you know, entrepreneurs and the sky's the limit, but they don't have that structure that they had in their job, right? And, you know, and one of the things that I work on a lot with clients is priority management, is creating that structure for them so that they can get the results that they're looking for. Yeah. And I think that that's because I like structure as an athlete. You know, I'm a dancer as well. So I love the structure of all of that. And I think that's super powerful. So, okay. As we finish out here, I just have a couple quick questions for you. I'd love for you to just repeat your quote again, one more time.
Yeah. It's do your best at any contest and God will do the rest.
Yeah. I love that. And, cause I want to make sure that we get that and we have that locked in here. And, do you have a daily, I know that's a daily mantra for you, but do you have another daily mantra? That's what your dad told you. Is there something that you've developed for yourself that, you know, keeps you going on a daily basis?
You know, I just focus on that, pretty much the same mantra that I still use.
Yeah.
Do your best at any contest and God will do the rest.
Yeah.
And, okay. You know, I get up in the morning, whether you make a list of the things that you want to accomplish, your daily task, and you have the things that you want to accomplish for the future and the focus. You could only just focus on now.
Yeah.
And to be present in the present moment and to be able to divert all of that attention there. So
I always say that your future is a series of nows.
Yes.
Right? Your future is a series of nows. What are you doing right now? That will depict your future. You know, all these seemingly insignificant choices really do have an impact on you in the future. So what is the best way for someone to get involved in your organization, for them to follow what you're doing? What is the best way for someone to...
The best way they can do it, find out about what we're doing, is go to the website, mg52.org. That's MG from all in Greenwood. My number was 52 when I played, except in Houston, but from high school to college to Miami, 52. mg52.org. And they could have all the social media links on there.
And the things that you're doing. Is there, so my last question is this, is there anything you need from our listeners to help you move forward? What is your ask?
My ask is, if they know of anyone that's that is interested in participating in this facility, it's going to be a 300,000 square foot facility, indoor facility, youth facility. And so that's going to cost a lot of money. So if they know anyone that want to do any type of investment into that, want to donate, to please let me know.
Yeah. So show me the money.
All right. I was just at an event with Lee Steinberg.
I know, I'm going to be next week too. I just saw him. And so for those of you that don't know who Lee Steinberg is, he is Jerry Maguire. He's the original Jerry Maguire. And he's being given a humanitarian award out in Anaheim with Walt Disney and stuff like that. And I'm heading out there in September. Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm going to see him.
Great guy. He wonderful told about the facility as well. And he's
beautiful.
He's just so much into giving back and so much into helping people that are doing things like these. So he said, as soon as I get everything.
I'm sure he'll be an integral part of it. And, you know, he started the whole thing where everybody wants to help, you know, kids and give back to your community in the NFL. Right. And I think that's powerful. Yeah. Well, keep listening to the podcast, because he's going to be a guest on our podcast here probably in the next month and a half or so. He'll be a guest. Well, listen, I know you got to get running. I want to say thank you so much for taking time. I can't wait to run into you again, and I'm sure we will see each other again soon. And I just want you to, you know that I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. If there's anything I can do, you know you can give me a call. You can reach out to me. So get on your merry way, and thank you again for joining us today. And thank you, listeners, for taking time out of your day. Don't forget to scroll down on your phone all the way down and give us a great 5-star review and make some beautiful comments for Marlon, so that you know, so he knows and I know how much you enjoyed this episode. And last but not least, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Jen Duplessis, and you'll find you'll be able to see us rather than listen to us if you care to do so. And again, we'll catch you next time on Success to Significance. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
You've been listening to Success to Significance with Jen Duplessis, the number one podcast for people wanting to give more value and make an impact. Loved this episode? Be sure to subscribe right now at www.jenduplessis.com/S2S for more stories, strategies, and thoughts to help you gain significance and success. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Join us next week for another breakthrough episode. Thank you for listening.